Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
But I want to just look at the command itself. Three times he tells, this is a prohibitive imperative in the Greek. Prohibitive imperative, the prohibitive part means don't you do it. And the imperative means I command you. In other words, I command you, do not worry.
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern-day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, truth seekers. My name is Corey Callicutt, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's Infusion of the Truth.
And just like that, we are off to the races again for another round of Truth Infusion. My name is David Markham, and I'm excited to be with you, truth seekers, all across the fruited plain and around the world via internet. Thank you for the opportunity to reach out and touch you in the name of Jesus. And we ask that right from the get-go here that the Holy Spirit be in charge and in control of exactly what He wants in this next 30 minutes. And that's always my prayer, that the next 30 minutes would be the most anointed 30 minutes on the radio you could listen to today. Because if it is anointed, it means it is not coming from a human source. True anointing is the movement and the action, the activity of the Holy Ghost. And above all things, we want the Holy Spirit to lead and guide and direct exactly what's happening in this radio program today. Thank you for joining us. Truth Infusion Ministries is on the move. God is blessing us to do a lot of things. And one of my favorite aspects of what we are about is our broadcasting element to the ministries. And so here we go again. I'm going to start a brand new teaching today. Brand new teaching today that I can promise you will affect every single person listening. And I'm going to go over that in just a few minutes, why I believe that this teaching that will probably cover, I'm guessing, about 3 weeks, of programs to conclude this, but it's going to touch every person in some way, shape, form, or fashion. We all fit into the category of topic that we're going to talk about today. But first things first, we've spoken about the Holy Spirit and the importance of having Him involved. But as we begin this study, I want to just pray and ask that He would take over and use this for the benefit of those listening, exactly what you need. He knows. He knows where you are. And that He would give glory to Jesus Christ, which is His ministry. The Holy Spirit is about glorifying the Son. So let's pray and ask for that in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, You've heard our request already, and it is not something I say haphazardly or to sound spiritual. I really need You right now, and I feel that even at this moment as I'm praying this prayer, I need Your help. I need Your help to teach Your Word. No man can accomplish that correctly. Your Word tells us that it is the Spirit that leads us into all truth. So I pray for the complete control of the Holy Spirit in this time, that You would control my thoughts, my mind, my words, that You would control the thoughts and the spiritual ears of everyone listening, and that down through time, You would take this message as it's being sent out right now and utilize it to glorify Jesus Christ, and it's in His name that we pray it. Amen. Okay, so the title of the teaching that we're beginning today and will last for, I want to guess, another couple of weeks after this, here's the title: Don't Worry About Worrying. Don't worry about worrying. I want to talk about a topic that is, in some way, it affects every single person and want to talk about the different categories of people where it, when it comes to the emotion and the stronghold of worry in your day-to-day life. But first, how about a little bit of scripture just to kind of set the scene, to set the stage for what we're going to do today. I'm going to read to you a few verses out of Psalm 46. Psalm 46. The first three verses, verses 1 through 3, here's what it says. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And here's verse 2. Therefore, we will not fear. Now, if verse 1 is true, it allows the first phrase right there in verse 2 to be true. If we believe verse 1, God is our refuge, God is our strength, He is a very present help in trouble. If that's more than just words, if that's more than just lip service, if that is in fact fact, then that allows the first part of verse 2 to be a reality for your life. So let's look at it in that way as I read this verse and a half again. If this part right here is true, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. If that's true for you, then here is what you can live in. The first part of verse 2, therefore, you see, the therefore lets us know. If verse 1 is true, then you can have what's after the therefore. Therefore, we will not fear. Because if God is our refuge, and what does that mean? He's our safe haven. He's our protection. He's the oasis in the desert. He is the force field that surrounds the oasis in the desert. He is the protective covering that allows nothing in that He does not want in and allows nothing out that He does not want out. A refuge is a secret place. It is a hiding place. It is a safe place from the storm, from the enemy, from whatever buffets us. So He is our refuge and strength. The strength is the power to get things done, the power to accomplish the feat that needs to be accomplished, or the power and the strength to keep from doing those things we should not do or should not be involved in. It is, or He is rather, the strength, the power to accomplish. So He's the refuge, He's the protection, and He's the strength, the power to accomplish. I love this next phrase, a very present help in trouble. When He talked to Moses from that burning bush, He said, "What is my name?" He said, "It is I am. I am." I meaning me, God Almighty, in the whole capacity of what I am. And the second word am is a present verb. All of me, always present. I am. And see, never is God past tense. Never is He future tense. He is always present. And Jesus, several times in the book of John, referred to Himself as the I am. He said, "I am the truth. I am the way. I am the life. I am the good shepherd. I am the door. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the resurrection." And at one point, He tells the Pharisee, "Before Abraham was, I am." He is always present. There's no time in your life, there is no point in your life where you're going to go through a circumstance where your God and the protection of His refuge and the power of His strength will be something of the past or something somewhere in the future that you don't have access to today. He is a present, always present help in trouble. And because that is true in Psalm 46 verse 1, we get the effect of that type of God in our life. Therefore, we will not fear. Now here's the rest of verse 2. Even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Now guys, that's a crazy day. When the earth falls away from your feet and the mountains are cast into the sea. Verse 3, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with swelling. In other words, on the most crazy cataclysmic, the world around you is falling apart before your very eyes type of day. And some of us have had days that felt that way. Even on those days, now let me read verse 7. The Lord of hosts is with us. Now that is a reference back to the fact that He is a present help. He is the God that is, not was, not will be. He is. The Lord of hosts is with us. And the rest of the verse says, the God of Jacob is our refuge. Underlining, He's the protection. He's the hiding place. He's the island in the midst of the sea. He is the oasis in the desert. He is exactly what you need. He is your present help. Now, why do I bring that, those few verses up, and why do I take some time to outline what those things mean? Because the concept of this teaching is we're not going to worry. We don't have to worry. We should not worry about worrying. All right? And it just gave you some quick verses that outline why that is possible and why that should be for all of us as children of God. But here's the next part. Even though that's true, worry is common to all humans on some kind of level, okay? And now, the reason I say on some kind of level, and I referenced early that this teaching affects everybody in some way, shape, form, or fashion. I'm going to give you some reasons why I think that. I believe that there are different categories of people when it comes to worrying, okay? And everybody's going to fall into one of these three categories in some way. So let me outline what those are, and you just think about these three categories of worry and tell me or nod your head wherever you're listening to this right now and say, yeah, okay, that one was me. That's me right there. Okay, category number one. I think everybody's going to fall into one of these. Category number one. Some people are born extreme worriers. Okay, if you are that type of person, you know that because, and you can be saved and still struggle with this, because you know that's you because, number one, you're always dealing with anxiety or struggling over the present issue or what may happen in the future or what happened in the past that could happen again. And at the same time that you're struggling with it, you are upset with yourself that you're always worrying. Okay? And you guys, if that's not you personally, you've got somebody in your family, somebody close to you that you know struggles with a regular daily dose of worrying about life. All right, and that is a lot of folks. We all either may be that person or you know that person. And I've got a few people like that I know that just they're popping up in my mind right now, and I love them, and they're great people. They love the Lord, and they're fantastic to my life. But one of the strongholds, one of the issues with their sin nature is that they have a tear in the fabric of their lives in the place of worry, and they tend to drift toward anxiousness and worry very easily. Okay, that's category number one. Here's category number two. Perhaps you're not an extreme worrier, but maybe you fall into this category. There are a group of people out there, and they have certain areas of their life that pull the trigger of worry for them. Okay? So certain things can go wrong in certain categories of their life. No big deal. They trust the Lord right here. He's going to see them through. I'm not putting extra time into being overly concerned and wringing my hands over that. God's got it. You know, maybe in the area of finances, even whenever there's a financial circumstance going on and you're dealing with that and you're struggling with that, you still don't have worry there because you know God. He owns it all. He has it all. He is Jehovah Jireh. He will provide for you, and you have full confidence in the area of financial issues, and so when they arise, you don't get worried. But if something goes wrong with your health, I'm just creating a hypothetical here, perhaps in that circumstance, in that situation, in that slice of the pie of your life, when a circumstance hits you in this area, now I've got something different that I'm dealing with, and worry becomes a problem. There may be one or two things in your life that you really struggle with worrying about when those things surface. Okay? And otherwise, you do pretty good, but you will have to admit before the Lord and in your own heart, yeah, I know what those one or two things are that I struggle with. So maybe you're an extreme worrier. That's category number one. Maybe you just worry about certain things, and then all the other areas you do really good without the struggle of worry. Or maybe you're number three. There are some people, there are others that never felt like worry was really an issue for you until that thing you never saw coming nearly knocked you over. All right, until life threw the curveball you weren't expecting, you had not made provision for, you didn't even know to start praying about that, and then you turned around and suddenly you were in a storm that you were not prepared for, and when that moment came, and you know exactly what that is, you went from being not a worrier, not someone that dealt with anxiety, pretty cool and laid back, no areas of your life were a big burden or struggle where worry was concerned. But then came the blow you weren't looking for, and in that thing, that set of circumstances, boy, it's really got you bowed down. Okay, those are some general areas, but I believe that everybody more than likely falls into one of those three categories. And whether you're an all-the-time kind of worrier or just a every-once-in-a-while type of worrier, or I really don't worry until that one thing happened and it really just took me by surprise and knocked my feet out from under me, whatever your category may be, here's what I think the Lord is going to teach us over the next few weeks. You don't have to worry about worrying. And I believe the Bible is replete with not only concepts that show that worry is an issue in places, but also gives us understanding of why we don't have to worry, and if it is a problem, what is it that we should do with it or about it anyhow? So really, the rest of this teaching series is going to be geared around three questions in the area of dealing with worry for your personal life. And we're going to deal with the question number one during the rest of this show today. The first question I want to deal with is, what is worry? You know, it's really difficult to do battle with a certain stronghold in your life and see victory over that if you really don't have a real biblical concept of what it is anyhow. So I want to take some time just to define and get a Bible-esque, Bible-type look and view at the concept of worry. What is worry? I want to read you first a quote by Chuck Swindoll. Very awesome teacher, man of God. Here's what he said. He said, "The pressures of our times have many of us caught in a web of the most acceptable, yet energy-draining sin in the Christian family, the sin of worry." I'm going to read that one more time because it's a little bit wordy, but I want you to hear a couple of points out of this quote. Chuck Swindoll said, "The pressures of our times have many of us caught in the web of," well, watch this, "number one, the most acceptable sin, number two, the most energy-draining sin in the Christian family." Here's what I want you to know with this idea or this question of what is worry. You've got to understand, worry is a sin. No doubt about it, and I'm going to show you why. In the rest of this show today, we've got about 10 minutes left. I want to take you through three reasons that you have to come to a place where you identify that worry, in whatever vein of category of worry that you deal with it, you've got to know worry is a sin. Chuck Swindoll said the most acceptable sin in the Christian family. In other words, we're just going to say, well, it's just life and that's a big problem and you've got the right to worry about it. And it's the most energy draining sin because when you've given yourself over to worry in a situation, an area of your life, it affects your emotions, your mentality, your body. It can break down you physically, not to mention, and not least of all, the spiritual struggle that comes when sin is running rampant in your life. Three reasons that worry is sin. Number one is this: worry is disobedience. And let me show you why I say that. Worry is disobedience. I'm going to read you some verses out of Matthew chapter 6. Now, this is Jesus Christ's Sermon on the Mount. This is all red letters. This is quotes directly from the Son of God himself. And here's what he said. Matthew chapter 6, this is familiar. Starting in verse 25, he said, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life." I want to skip ahead to verse 31 where he says, "Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat or drink, or what shall we wear?" Let me skip ahead now to verse 34 when he says, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things." Okay, here's three times in just a few verses in Matthew chapter 6, three times that Jesus Christ gives a point-blank command: do not worry. Now, this phrase that he said three times, and he gives us all kinds of reasons why and explanations for why he commands this in these verses, but I want to just look at the command itself. Three times he tells, this is a prohibitive imperative in the Greek. Prohibitive imperative, the prohibitive part means don't you do it, and the imperative means I command you. In other words, I command you, do not worry. Now, just real quick logic right here. Is it, because this is what this command tells me, a few things. Number one, it is possible not to worry, because Jesus would not have made a prohibitive imperative, a command into our lives that he stated point blank, if it was not possible to live in this way. Some of you are saying, David, it's impossible not to worry. That's impossible. It's out of my control. Well, if that's true, and Jesus commanded us not to do it, then now we have a sin that is impossible for us not to commit. And if there is a sin out there that no matter what we're going to commit, we can't do anything about that, then Calvary and the work of Christ on the cross was a waste of time. It did not accomplish anything, because my understanding of Calvary is that all sin was defeated. And if he commands us to do something, then it is possible to see it carried out in our lives. Number two, if he commanded it, then that means it is something we have to do. In other words, if you don't do it, it's disobedience. And in my book and in my home, where my children are concerned, and I'm a child of God, he's my heavenly Father, disobedience is still a sin. It's a very easy, logical line to draw. He commanded us not to do it. Therefore, if we do, we are now in sin. Second thing I want to show you this. Why is worry a sin? Second thing is this. It changes our faith focus. It changes our faith focus. Now, you can be concerned about something and not sin. You can have concern and it not be worry. Worry is when it dominates and controls the focus of your mind. You can have a concern about something, think about it, pray about it, have a burden for it, and it not overwhelm you and control you. But when you are overwhelmed and controlled by a thought process that Jesus said don't do, now you are focusing your faith not on Christ as an answer for you, but on something else. So when we do not maintain faith in God when we worry, is what I'm saying. Romans 14:23 says, that which is not of faith is sin. It doesn't get any simpler than that statement right there. That which is not of faith is sin. Now, you got to have an understanding of the concept or the idea of what is your object or your focus of faith. What is your faith focused on? In other words, what are you depending on for your help in the circumstance and the struggle that you're in? What are you depending on for the resources to see this problem fixed? What are you depending on for the power to find the success or the deliverance from your circumstances? Because what you are focused on is what you have faith in that problem is going to be fixed. And let me say it a different way. If you're focused on Christ, if your faith is on Him, you are believing that Jesus is the answer, the resource, and the power to fix the problem or the circumstances that you are in. But when your faith shifts and you start worrying, you're not looking at Jesus anymore. You're looking to something else to solve your problems. Yourself, some other person, a 12-step program, a self-help book. If you're looking to anything else and your faith is on that, now you are determined that that thing is my answer to this problem. And when your faith shifts from Jesus to anything else, the Bible says that which is not of faith is sin. That makes the mind controlled by worry a sinful mind. And the third thing is this, as we kind of get to conclusion in today's study and the concept of what is worry. The third thing that I want you to see that shows us that worry is sin is that this happens. When you give yourself to worry, you and I become an idol worshiper. An idol worshiper. Now that sounds maybe like a large step from I'm just worried about this situation to now I'm an idol worshiper, David. But let me give you scripture here. I read to you what Jesus had to say in Matthew chapter 6. Do not worry. Do not worry. I command you, do not worry. Let me read you verse 24. Same line of thinking. Jesus is giving the same sermon here, right there, before he begins to tell us, I command you do not worry, I command you do not worry, I command you do not worry. Right before that in verse 24, he says this, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. No one can serve two masters. And here's what that word master means that Jesus uses right there. The concept of the word master that Christ uses is a person exercising absolute ownership rights over you. You cannot have two masters, two different persons exercising absolute ownership rights over you. Here's what I'm saying. When we have given ourselves over to worry in a circumstance or situation in our lives, we have, in essence, allowed worry to dominate our focus. The worry itself has become our master, and the worry itself is now our Lord. And when we have a master, or when we have a Lord apart from Jesus Christ, guess what? It has become our idol. Hey, there's commandment number one. The number one rung on the ladder was this, thou shalt have no other gods before me. You can't serve two masters. And really, in essence, when worry has begun to dominate us and to become the master of our thought processes and the master of our focus, we are most of the time relying on ourself. What am I going to do? How am I going to handle this? What do I do next? I don't know what to do. How do I figure this out? I. And when it becomes I, I've got to do this. I've got to help this. I've got to work this out. We have begun relying on ourself as the answer to the problem. And when we are relying on us, guess what? That makes us our own idol. We become both the idol and the idol worshiper. Sin separates us from God. Worry is sin. And you have to have a biblical concept and a biblical view of your problem before you can ever see the answer to the problem come. What is worry? Worry is a sin. Come back next week. We're going to start dealing with the concept of why not worry. Till next time.
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas, 75573, or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.